But we have been talking about prayer and how that there are different kinds of prayer. And the fact is that there are people who will use prayer wrong and won't receive from God simply because they don't know how to pray. Now you can say, well, I don't believe that's true, Pastor, because God knows my heart. That's true when it comes to baby Christians. And a baby Christian is not somebody who is just ignorant of the word. You see, mature people have been around for years. They're ignorant of the word because they're too lazy to get into the word. Okay? God doesn't see you as a baby just because you won't apply yourself. Ignorance is not bliss when it comes to God's word, because Satan's going to beat up on you. And so we've been sharing how that with prayer, you can go on shooting your prayers at the sky, getting the odd one answered. Okay? Or you can begin to pray where every prayer request, everything you say, receives an answer from God. And I'm not talking about God answers every prayer. It's yes or no. All right? You ought to know what his answer is before you pray. All right? We talked about that. And when you pray, miracles should take place in our lives. Say, well, what if you ask for something that you can't have? Well, you're supposed to determine that before you pray. That's what I'm saying. Of course, if you ask for something you can't have, God's not going to give it to you if it goes against his word. God can only be in agreement with his word. He can't go against his words. You've got to know his word. But we talked about 9 different kinds of prayer, and we've covered quickly 8 of them. And I'm going to cover the 9th one today. And then I am going to spend some time, probably today if I have time, if not the next Wednesday, and I'm going to take these prayers and show you how to put them into, how to use them properly. And this is what I've been explaining to you on why prayer is so important. Each different prayer is like a different tool or a different weapon. And when building a house, I made the analogy that you can't build a house with just a hammer. All right, now, you could do it. You could take the claws out and dig the basement. Take you a few months. And you might get it down deep enough, put a foundation in. But when you start building that wood basement, how are you going to cut those 2x10s up? Well, you could pace it off with your hammer if you don't have a tape measure or a saw. And with only one tool, you could use the claws and cut that board off. Take you a couple hours to do that. And then jump on it and break it off. But to build an entire house with only one tool is going to take you years. That's like some people pray prayer lives. They pray one kind of prayer, and they don't realize God's got 9 different kinds. And the reason he's got 9 is because they each work better in a different circumstance. Now, it doesn't mean that you only use one. Some of them, as we look at it today, they all flow together. But there are some that don't go together. And we gave you an example of the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith can only be used on you. Now, faith has to be in every prayer, but the title of this prayer is called the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith can only be used on yourself. Never do you see Jesus saying, go thy way, my faith has made you whole. He always said, go thy way, your faith has made you whole. And so we looked at Mark 11:24 and found out that it talks here that prayer is for you. Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Who's it talking about? You. All right, the prayer of faith is very personal. Now, the prayer of faith never prays, if it be your will. That's the prayer of dedication. And so we covered the prayer of dedication. The powerful thing about the prayer of dedication is that that prayer will get you God's will. You will find out what God's will is and flow in it when you learn to pray the prayer of dedication. The only prayer of the 9 that you're to say, if it be your will. So we've covered a lot in the last 4 sessions, and if you haven't been here, get the cassettes and get caught up with us on learning the other 8 kinds of prayer. Now, I want to go into the 9th kind. I'm not even going to review all the rest of them. We just talked about a number of them. We talked about intercessory prayer last time, and I shared how that intercessory prayer is praying for the lost, and it is praying for Christians who refuse to get out of their sin. Why? Because the word intercede, to intercessory prayer, means to stand in the gap for somebody because they can't contact God for themselves. Who is that? That's a non-Christian. An unsaved person cannot get an audience with God until they come through Jesus. So the prayer of intercession is to win the lost. It's to stand in the gap and pray for that person and win them. And it's also for believers who have backslidden and refuse to repent of their sin. They're in sin, they've broken fellowship with God, and therefore they can't get a hold of God either until they repent. And they don't want to repent. They're loving their sin. Satan's got them hooked. Now, some people use the prayer of intercession for everything. I'm interceding for so-and-so. And it's become a buzzword. I'm interceding. I'm an intercessor. And we're going to get into this and really clean it up and say, this is what the word says. But the word intercessor means one who intercedes, one who stands in the gap, one who is helping you out with another person. Example, if somebody's really upset at me and mad at me and they've got me on something and I want help, I need a friend of that guy to go on my behalf. Isn't that right? Let me give you an example. Let's say I've got a neighbor, and this neighbor, I did something that ticks him off. He is so mad at me. He won't even talk to me. When he sees me coming, he bars the door. When he sees me walking uptown, he's changing streets. Well, he won't answer my calls. He won't answer my letters. He refuses to because there's something between us. And I think, how do I get to this guy? I need somebody to get to him on my behalf. And so if I can find a friend of his, all right, and say, are you a friend of so-and-so's? You are? Oh, thank you. Listen, I need you to talk to him for me. He won't talk to me. I can't get into his presence. I've done something that bars me from his presence. Would you talk to him and let him know I'm a nice guy? Tell him, intercede for me. Get in between the two of us. There's something between us we can't deal with here. Could you help us out? That is interceding. So you can't really call. Now, I'm not trying to give you a whole bunch of rules on prayer to complicate it. I'm just trying to help you understand it because it all flows together. So when you want someone to intercede on your behalf, stand in between you and another person, that is for unbelievers or for Christians who are in sin. Now, the prayer that we would pray, the next one I want to cover, and there's a lot more on intercession we're going to cover. I've given you the most, just a really shallow definition, and you could say, yeah, but a whole bunch of times, and I know. We'll get into that. But right now I want to move on and give you the ninth kind of prayer. And the ninth kind of prayer is the prayer of supplication. S-U-P-P-L-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. The prayer of supplication. Now, this prayer, okay, is the prayer that you can keep praying over and over and over again. People say, well, the prayer of faith, really, if you're going to believe that you've received it, then when you pray the prayer of faith and you say, all right, I've been in the Word, I believe that this growth is going to disappear off my body. So I command it in the name of Jesus. Growth, come off my body in the name of Jesus. I know my rights as a believer. I know God's will because His Word says healing is mine. Therefore, growth, you leave today. All right? On the 9th at 5 to 8, I prayed that prayer. And in my heart today, on the 9th of June at 8:05, I consider it done. Prayer of faith. Is it the 10th? It's the 10th, thank you. My watch is right, my eyes was wrong. All right, today the 10th, 5 to 8, I prayed that prayer, I believe in my heart it's done, and the Bible says in Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, I desire the thing gone, this growth, wherever it is in your body, and it says, believe that you have received it. And you shall have it. That means it's not gone yet, but you still believe that thing can't stay. You don't deny the growth, you deny its right to be there. We don't say, oh, look where I don't have a growth. No, you just deny its right to be there. And so from now on, from 5 to 8, on the 10th and on, if a friend said, Leon, how's it going? I'll say, you know what? According to God's Word, it says, if I desire that thing gone, to believe I have received, I want you to know, in my heart, that thing is gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, so just agree with me, and I'll let you know when that physical part is all finished. But in my heart, it's done, it's finished. The prayer of faith, you pray once. And then after that, I don't go, oh, God, please take away this growth. Make it disappear. God's going, you asked me for that yesterday. It's done in your eyes. And then all of a sudden, oh, God, it's not gone. Please, God. Many people, and I'm going to just throw this out, and it's going to offend some of you. Many people don't get what they pray for because they ask for it a second and a third and a fourth time. And in the asking and the personal prayer of faith, they breed unbelief. They give themselves that unbelief because they keep asking for it. You see, when you go, if I go to my father, and I say, Dad, I need your car. Can I have your car keys? And I ask him today at 5 to 8, and Dad's answer is, yes, you can have the car keys. I said, great, I need them tomorrow at 8. He goes, they're yours, Leon. And so I see him in 10 minutes. Dad, tomorrow, I need the car keys. Can I have your... He says, yeah, I told you yes. Oh, good, thanks. And then an hour, Dad, could I have the car keys? He's going to go like, son, you getting enough sleep? Okay? Because I've asked, he's as good as his word, it's done. Okay? And the same is with God. So the prayer of faith. But now the prayer of supplication is a prayer that you can pray over and over. And you need to be praying because the prayer of supplication is, let me give you a quick definition of it. It is a continued, humble, earnest request. The prayer of supplication is a prayer that you can continue to pray. And it's not just a casual prayer. It's not a prayer of supplication unless this thing is earnest. It's passionate. It is reaching out and it's coming out of your heart. I'm Father in Jesus' name. And so the prayer of supplication is continued as well. Now, go with me to James chapter 5 and I'll show you an example of supplication. In James 5 and verse 16. I'm going to show you what this prayer does, and you are going to just say, I am going to learn so much about this prayer when you see what it does. James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In the Amplified, this is a reference to the same prayer. It's a fervent, effective, continued prayer. It says in the Amplified, who's got an Amplified Bible here? We've been handing them out. We should have somebody. Can I grab it? Thanks. You're in Peter, sister. I'm teasing. I lost it. All right. We're at James. Chapter 5. Let me read it to you out of the Amplified. This is incredible. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Let me tell you something. When you learn to supplicate, when you learn to get before God and pray the prayer of supplication, and you learn to pray properly, you become effective, not just noisy. You become effective, not just teary. You become effective, not just groany. You become effective, not just worried. You become effective. And then it says, and when you learn to pray this continued, heartfelt, earnest prayer, tremendous power becomes available. Come on. Think about this. Tremendous power becomes available and it is dynamic in its working. In other words, this prayer begins to produce the power of God in your life in the area that you're praying for and it's dynamic in its working. That means tremendous power becomes available. Now it's like in Genesis chapter 1 where it says the Spirit of God was moving on the waters, incubating, brooding. Nothing was happening, but the Spirit of God was there. It was available, but not working. It was available, but not working. The prayer of supplication makes a power, tremendous power available, and then also dynamic in its working. And so the prayer of supplication, as we get into what it is and how it works, I want you to remember this, that it's the prayer you need to be praying on and on because tremendous power becomes available. Now, as a church, when we as a church learn to pray, and I'm going to try to just clean up some of the confusion with intercession and supplication in the times ahead, we're going to be able to know exactly how we can flow in prayer. And what's exciting about this is this. I used to pray years and years ago, and it was just kind of, can I be really honest with you? It was boring. I was pretty bored with prayer. I mean, I knew I should pray, so I prayed for my Wheaties, and prayed for the missionaries, and you know, and a few other things. But really, really, did I have a relationship with God? Did I really pray for people? Well, someone said, Leon, would you please pray for me? I'm going in for surgery. I go, okay. And when they walked off, bless him, Lord, in surgery. And that was probably the last time I prayed. Because I didn't really know how to pray, didn't understand really, you know, what the dynamic and the different ways to pray. But when I begin to find out, now, if you ever watch a carpenter build a house, if he enjoys what he's doing, you can see a skill in the using of that hammer, a skill in the use of that saw. There's skill as he takes his equipment out there and puts his house together. And this house goes up with pride because it's a picture of his work. And the same is true for prayer. When you begin to realize which prayer to use, when you begin to realize how to pray in this situation, all of a sudden, You feel good. You know why? Because you know you're going to get an answer. You know how to make the power of God available in this situation. You know how to help this person out. You know how you can pray and you know how you can't pray. Don't say, oh, this is too complicated. It's not. It just takes practice. I like the analogy of when I learned to drive on an old Strato Chief. Three on the tree. No springs in the front. And I'll never forget. And my mother taught me. We go into first gear, and I put my foot off the clutch, and I had to remember to hold the steering wheel straight, okay, because if not, you're under the curb. When you're holding the steering wheel straight, you got to have the thing in gear with the clutch in, and then with the clutch in, you got to have your foot on the gas, and you let the foot off the clutch with enough gas on, and if you let the clutch off too fast and put too much gas, the thing goes, whoa, 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 and if I let off the clutch too fast without enough gas on it, it just went bleh. And all my friends started laughing at me because I stalled the car out. And so it got working. After a while, even when I took off, I wouldn't reuse the clutch right. And this thing would go, and the front end would go, whoa, 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 whoa. And I was so embarrassed driving that car. But then when you had to shift gears, and when you go to turn a corner on a Strato Chief with a three in the tree, you're coming, you got to turn right. Now think about this. You got to gear down one gear, put the clutch in on the gas, signal with your left hand, somewhere your pinky goes something like this, and then turn this thing and don't hit the curb or anybody else and see where you're going at the same time. I mean, I tell you, it was just kind of like, oh, but you know what? In about a month or two, I got to be honest about my dad. I had that thing out racing on the dunes. I didn't tell him, but I mean, we put that thing through its paces, stubble fields, tracks, you name it. I could put that thing through the gears in no time, pop that clutch, burn a donut. I mean, it was just, what am I saying? All I'm saying is they sold the car. I'm okay. All I'm saying is what I thought was so complicated and was so hard in a matter of practice in less than a month was as natural as breathing. Now you put most of you guys into a vehicle with a shift. We won't even think about it. Some of you eat your hamburgers and drink your coffee with shifting and clutching and everything else. Not a problem. It's the truth. Why? Because you've done it enough now. It comes naturally. Bang, bang, bang. And prayer is the same way. Don't get complicated and go, oh man, that's complicated. It's not complicated. It's easy. And as we walk through these Wednesdays, I'm going to show you how to deal. And I'm even going to give you a test pilot project. You say, okay, what would you do in this situation? And I'll walk you through. This is how I would pray. This is the kind of prayer I would use. And this is what I'd end up with. And this is what I would do. So we can become a church. We are a praying church now. But I believe God's got a whole new dynamic area of prayer for every one of us to see results come to happen in our personal lives. What is the prayer of supplication? All right. Now, it's not a casual request. So you can't say, oh, Father, bless my Wheaties and help me today. That's not a prayer. That's not a prayer of supplication. Right? That's not earnest. That's not passionate. That's not heartfelt. Have you noticed that God likes people who come with their whole heart? Not a little dabble, do you? Now, maybe we'll deal with that first. I want to deal with one thing before I go into the prayer of supplication. The prayers we've talked about so far, I'm going to read them off. And if you've probably got your notes, is the prayer of faith, the prayer of consecration, the prayer of commitment, the prayer of worship, the prayer of agreement, the prayer in the Spirit, prayer called united prayer, prayer called intercessory prayer, and the prayer of supplication. Now, these prayers are not all individuals, but they can't be used together. Let me give you an example. There might come a time where I want to worship God. And so I pray that prayer of worship. I'm communicating with God by worshiping with him. I'm saying, Father, I love you. I praise you. You are awesome. I trust you. You are in charge. Thank you, Jesus. I'm communicating with God. That's a prayer of worship. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to go, oh, I worship you, Jesus. Now I'm praying in the Spirit as I worship him. All right? And when I get done, we all might together say, let's pray in unity and agree on something. So the whole congregation begins to pray in unity for somebody in the hospital. We've just gone through three kinds of prayer, but they're all blended together. See? We began to worship God. We prayed in the Spirit for a while. Then we prayed the prayer of unity, the united prayer. Now, you can go on from there and look at it like this. Let's say that I don't know what to do. So I say, Father, what do you want me to do in this area? So I say, well, first I need to pray the prayer of consecration and dedication. Say, God, what do you want me to do here? God shows me, Leon, this is the direction I want you to go. Thank you. So in the name of Jesus, I now pray the prayer of faith. And I go on. When I'm done praying the prayer of faith, I'm going to just thank him and pray the prayer of worship. See, it's not a matter of having all these rules to make prayer difficult. You're already praying fairly effectively. It's just helping you know what each one is. I'm not going to say, Lord, if it be thy will for this healing, because I know it's his will according to the word. And so all these prayers are like fingers on a hand. They all help each other out. If I go to grasp something, okay, they're working together. Many of these prayers work together, okay? And it's just having them in the right order. I'm not going to say, Lord, if it be your will, while I'm praying the prayer of faith. I need to pray that prayer first and find out his will. See, some people make the mistake of saying, well, Lord, if it be your will for this, you just do it, and if not, fine. They don't realize they've short-circuited the system here. God wants you to pray knowing his will and praying in faith, and you can't pray in faith till you know his will. So the prayers will all flow together, and many times in one time of prayer, if you think about it, you'll have worshiped God. You'll have asked God about an area of what of his will. You'll speak to something in faith. You'll pray in the Spirit for a while, thanking him and worshiping him for it. It's amazing how they flow together. So don't get a bunch of rules and regulations here. Just learn and grow in the area of prayer. The prayer of supplication. Who do we use this prayer for? All right, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there in our Bibles. I'm going to go to our Bibles and we're going to go through some stuff. And if you have a hard time following along fast, then just write them down and listen as we go through them. Who do we pray this prayer for? Three groups. I'm going to give them to you. Number one, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice how all these prayers are lumped together here? Do all of these for all men, but supplications as well. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Now, who do you pray the prayer of supplication for first? Listen to me. We had better be praying for anybody in authority. God promises us that if the church will pray for the leaders, you will have a quiet and peaceful life. You just try and have a peaceful life and a quiet life and a prosperous life where a country is not praying for its leaders. In fact, when we get to heaven, I believe God is not going to hold Clinton responsible for a whole bunch of stuff. He's messing with demonic stuff he hasn't got a clue about. But if the praying church would start to pray and do some things, God's going to hold him responsible for a lot of stuff. But I'm saying he's going to hold the churches responsible for our leaders, our mayors. Are you really praying who's going to be mayor in our city in the next number of months? Are you really praying the prayer of supplication? Well, how would you pray a prayer for that man? We're going to get into that, and I'll show you how to pray for him. But we got to be praying for leaders. If we don't pray for leaders, and I don't mean once. Remember, the prayer of supplication is a continued, heartfelt, passionate prayer. You're going to raise kids in a city that has all bunch of stupid things going on because we as a church didn't pray for our leaders. We're going to be in a nation called Canada that they're already saying is an ungodly country because of the stand our government takes in a lot of areas like abortion, no religion on television, and all the rest. Where's the church? Are we praying? That prime minister, those men in leadership, these premiers, you are to be praying continually for them. Your mouth should not touch a leader except in prayer and to speak the positive. Now, if you're going to go talk with him and tell him his problems, go right ahead. Voting is an honor. Don't ever stop voting. But we need to pray for leaders. Not only do we pray for leaders and in the church, be praying for leaders. Be praying for me. Be praying for the leader of the ministry you're involved in, whether it's ushering or restoration house or youth ministries or kids ministries. Be praying for those leaders. You are to pray for those leaders, and then God promises you things will take place. Supplication is for leaders, all who are in authority. And if you do that, it will impact your life with the blessing because they are over you. How many times have you prayed for your leader at work instead of joining everybody else? Well, I don't know how he got the job. I mean, he's the boss's second cousin's third wife's son. No, you pray for that man. Pray for that woman. Why? God commands you to pray for leaders. All right, so number one, we pray for leaders in authority. And then it says, pray for all men. That means the unsaved. How do we pray for unsaved people? We can supplicate for them. So I thought the prayer of intercession was of praying for the unsaved. Yes, the prayer of intercession is standing in the gap. Remember I said all these prayers go together? It's got to be continued, earnest, heartfelt. Supplications and intercessions together, going forth. Number one, we pray for leaders. and for unsaved. Pray for all men. Number two, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, write that down. I'm going to just move on. We can pray for ourselves, the prayer of supplication. Okay, we can pray for ourselves. There are certain prayers that I'm going to get to that I pray every day over me. I don't just pray them once in faith. They are prayers that I can pray daily over me so that I can walk in a place of wisdom. I can walk in a place of health. I can walk in a place with God. I can pray the prayer of supplication for me, for spiritual needs, for needs that are here, and just continue to speak and pray over it. And the third part is in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says there that we should supplicate for all saints. So when you pray for saints, we pray the prayer of supplication. Now, don't get complicated with this, but let me just explain something. If I decide I'm going to pray for Dave, Dave's not in sin. He's serving the Lord. He's pushing in for Jesus. He doesn't need an intercessor. He's got Jesus and he's hooked up to him. Because Jesus is the intercessor. The only one between God and man is Jesus. We join in the ministry of intercession. But Dave is not in sin that I'm praying for him. He's not unsaved. He's just a brother that's doing fine. And I feel an urge to pray for him. I think some problems, some storms are blowing in his way. And so I want to pray for Dave. So what do? I pray passionate, earnest, continued prayer for Dave because God's put him on my heart. In fact, some of you here, God has put someone on your mind and you don't know why. You keep thinking about this person. So you phone him up. No, everything's fine. That's the Spirit of God speaking to you. And he's saying to you, pray that prayer of supplication. Get earnest about it. Get down and take the Word of God out and begin to pray the blessing of God, the peace of God, the wisdom of God, health and victory. Begin to pray for wisdom. Begin to pray for health. Begin to pray, bind the enemy. Begin to pray earnest, heartfelt prayers for as long as that person's on your heart. Continued. On and on. So we need to pray for the saints. And that's the prayer of supplication. All right, that's who we use this prayer for, those three groups. Make sure you pray for leaders. That's a very important, and the unsaved, because supplication and intercession flow together. You pray for yourself with that, ongoing. I pray for myself and my family every day. And we'll get to that. How do we do that? As well, we pray for the saints. The Bible says in one part, especially the household of faith. Did you know that I believe that when churches know how to pray, that we will see a lot less problems erupt that affect the church because the Spirit of God knows if Benny sitting over here is in the middle of a problem and it's going to impact 30 or 40 of his peers in the church. And so all of a sudden the Spirit of God's got 100 people. If you could really sit down and talk to him, and you probably can't, you'd find out that when you learn how to pray that this week for some reason we got 100 people all praying for Benny. Where's that prayer support coming from? The Spirit of God knows, and it's got you doing earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer as you speak the Word of God and pray that prayer over Benny. And churches, as you begin to get sensitive to God, that's how it begins to flow. Now, what do we supplicate for? We found out who. Let's find out what. What is the prayer of supplication used for? All right, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, it says there, pray for laborers. And the word prayer there doesn't mean a casual prayer. It means an earnest prayer. All right, there's a different Greek word there. It means an earnest, heartfelt prayer. What do we pray the prayer of supplication for? We should be praying, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. Send, raise up laborers in this church. See, everyone that goes to church is not a laborer. You understand that? A lot of people just sit in pews. And they don't ever become a laborer. They don't ever do something that helps win souls and gets involved in the harvest, whether it's getting involved in Restoration House or ministering to kids. You know how many kids get saved in our church every week? You'd be astounded as these teachers leave these little ones and they talk and say, how many here like to give their lives to Jesus? I remember one Sunday coming across my desk, 62. Another time, baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many children? Why? Because we're ministering to those kids. Every area of our church, we need to raise up laborers to get involved in this thing called church that goes out and reaches the harvest. Jesus said, pray for laborers. That's something we've got to supplicate for. We've got to pray the prayer of supplication for. And that doesn't mean once. It means get a passion for praying for laborers. The second thing, in Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, it tells us there to pray for the rain of God's presence. Pray. Now, I'm not reading these. I'm hoping you're going to go home and do a study on these the rest of this week so I can cover more material. We can pray for the outpouring of God's presence. Now, I'm not talking that the Holy Spirit has not been poured out. Of course he has. I'm talking about times of refreshing, times of revival, the flow of God's presence moving in our midst. And the Bible says also in James chapter 5 that we patiently wait for the fruit of the earth. What's the fruit of the earth? It's souls. What's the fruit that we want to reap? What's the harvest? Fruit is a harvest as well. Sometimes we think in grain too much. When grain fields are ripe, you harvest them. When fruit trees are ripe with apples, you harvest them. What is the fruit of the earth that we want to harvest? It's people who don't know Jesus Christ, who are in the middle of messed up marriages and businesses, who don't know God, who are going to hell. And it says that as we pray for the rain of God's presence, that it's going to cause the harvesting to be quicker. And there's a whole ton of stuff in there, but I'm going to just move on. Second thing we pray for, it says we can supplicate for, is for that. The third thing it says in Daniel chapter 9 and verses 2 to 18, read that portion of scripture. Daniel is reading through the books of the scribes and finds out that the time of captivity should be gone. It should be finished. But it's not happening. So he begins to pray and repent for himself and for the nation. The prayer of supplication is a place when you can pray and prayer and repent. And repent for a nation. All right? It's really big right now. I've noticed it across Canada. I think that's great. There are different groups repenting to other groups. We've got one nationality often repenting to another. They didn't do anything. All right? Somewhere in the backgrounds, things happen, maybe in their forefathers, but it's caused strife between two nationalities. A lot of stress and strife there. And someone gets up and just says, on behalf, I want to repent to you and say that was wrong. Would you forgive us? You might not have done it. Stops entire nations from going down. One man stops entire nations from going down. All right. The fourth thing that we pray the prayer of supplication for is to lift up the spiritual needs of others. Now, I'm going to take you through four prayers really quick in the Word of God that you can begin to pray, that I pray on a regular basis. I'm going to read them in the Word. You go with me first to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm going to show you how I pray the prayer of supplication for spiritual things, for spiritual needs. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul teaching us how to pray. This man was an incredible prayer warrior. This is what he prayed. In verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this prayer is not stopping. And it's not a casual prayer. It's an earnest, heartfelt prayer that Paul made continually. It's a prayer of supplication. And he prayed this, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, now I'm going to put springs in here as I pray for springs. That's how I do it. I pray, Father, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Springs of Living Water Church the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of this church's understanding being opened, that they might know what is the hope of your calling, Father, and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is your exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe according to the working of your mighty power. And I just put the name of the person. I pray for myself. Father, I thank you right now that I, Leon, have the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding being open. I know what is the hope of your calling in my life and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in me as your saint. I pray this every day, sometimes 3-4 times a day. I prayed this for months over me, and all of a sudden I began to find changes happening in my life. You know what began to happen? It changed the way I preached. It changed the way I read the word. I have a hard time reading the Bible. I kind of go, how much you read today? Oh, I read 2 chapters today. What was it about? God. It's about God. You know why? Because I needed. Look how powerful this prayer is. Paul is showing us how to pray. And he says, pray for the spirit of wisdom. I don't want a dab. I want the spirit of God in the area of wisdom to saturate my mind. And then it says the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You know the word revelation means there? It's the word, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but apocalypsa or lysis, and it means the lifting of the veil. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden it's like your eyes go, whoosh, look at this, I've been reading this for 4 years and look what it says. Wow, isn't this awesome? And you show your friend and he goes, that's cool. He's not getting no revelation on it. But the Spirit of God has done when, whoo, that will quicken in your life until you'll start to read books, you'll start to listen to tapes. I pray this prayer for myself every day, and you know what kind of a reader I am. I mean, I am going through tapes and books. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. If I'm sitting doing nothing, I got to be reading something. I want to learn something about God. I want to learn something about what I'm doing in pastoring and leading and any area. I just have this hunger for wisdom and knowledge. And I believe a lot of it comes because about 10 years ago, I began to take this prayer, and I've prayed it daily over myself. I pray it daily over my wife. I pray it daily over my kids. Why? Because the prayer of supplication is an earnest, passionate, heartfelt prayer that never stops, continued on and on. I can pray this for me every day. See, here I don't have to use a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith would go, well, I believe Leon's got the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm never going to pray it again. No, this is a continued prayer. Paul says, I don't cease making this prayer. It's an ongoing prayer. The prayer of supplication. This I can pray for every day. If I've got a situation where I'm dealing with somebody, maybe it's a staff person, maybe it's another pastor, maybe it's a situation in leadership that I know I'm going to have to deal with this person, this is the prayer I will pray for them before I confront them. This is the prayer I'll pray for them before I get together with them, because I want their wisdom gone on this situation, because everyone always thinks they're right. Does everybody here? How many here, everything you do, you think is right? Thank you. We got some honest people here. That's foolish to do things you think are wrong. But that's the nature of us. You see, everything Leon thinks he's right. And everything you think you're right. That's why church is so hard to flow together. So you know, we all have to start praying. Lord, I want the spirit of wisdom on me, not my earthly wisdom, not the Leon wisdom that's taken 35 years to develop. I want the wisdom of the Holy Spirit upon me. I want that spirit of revelation, the eyes of my understanding opened. Not an understanding of my rights and what I want, and bless God, I'm the leader, I'm the pastor here, submit, and all the rest stuff that goes on in church life. I want an understanding of people and the call of God in my life. I want an understanding of marriage. I want an understanding of raising kids that is so far superior to any book on the market, any person that's out there. I want to grow an understanding how to raise kids. I want to grow, understand how to be a great husband, how to be a great father, how to be a great friend. And as I pray this on myself every day, my eyes keep getting opened more and more to the wisdom of God. How to grow a church. Guess what? It's all hidden in the Word of God. All the truths, all the nuggets of wisdom are in here. My problem is getting them from here where the Spirit of God teaches them to hear. So what do I pray for? The spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of my understanding open. Lord, thank you, Jesus. I pray that sometimes 3 times a day. Sometimes I pray it all day. Because I know I got something I got to make a decision on the next week. So Father, I'm praying, man. I'm praying for wisdom. I'm praying for an understanding. When I meet with this person, help me to understand where they're coming from. Help me to know how to walk a mile in their moccasins. Whatever it is, I want to understand. Help me to understand how to deal with the situation. Help me understand how to communicate with that person. I never communicate with any two people the same way. I'll share something with one person. Even if I want to share the same thing. If I want to share the same thing with all these people in the front row, And it's a very important thing. And if I'm talking to them all at the same time, that's different. But if I talk to them one at a time, if you've ever been with me as I'm witnessing to somebody, I have never witnessed to the same person the same way twice. 1 minute I'm talking to a person, and we're talking about the end of the world, the nuclear bombs, because that's what interests them. The next time I'm talking about healing and the presence of God. Why? Because I want an understanding of how to reach people. This prayer is powerful. Now, there's a bunch of prayers. I'm going to give you just 4. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Well, go to Ephesians chapter 3 first. I don't know how many to go through. The epistles, by the way, are, when you read the epistles, look for the way Paul prays. Because as you study the word, it looks as though to Paul was given the task of walking out this new covenant. The apostle Paul is an incredibly important figure in our New Testament doctrine. Because this is the man that Jesus appeared to and began to show him how to walk out the new covenant written in the blood of Jesus. All right, in Ephesians chapter 3, where's my verse here? Verse 14. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now think about this. How many have gone through a situation and on the inside, it's just there's a strength in there on the inside of you. And you deal with this thing. Other times you go and it just kind of feels, Oh, man. Let's pray. Oh, God. And you need that fire. You need that steel on the inside. You pray this prayer for somebody. You pray this prayer for yourself. If you're going through a storm, what a great thing to pray. Strengthened with his might in your inner man. Empowered, lit up, turned on. You can pray this every day. You can pray this for your wife. If your wife's going through something, if you're a husband, ladies, you know, some of you ladies are so precious because some of you are the feelings for your husbands who are the cool dudes. And they'll go through something and you know they're going through something and you try to comfort them or talk to them and they're macho. It's, everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's cool. Hey, don't worry about it. You're fine. And you know by looking at this turkey that all hell's going loose in his business and something's going wrong. You know how to pray. I'd pray this prayer and the first prayer. I'd be praying the spirit of wisdom upon him. I'd be praying the spirit of God would strengthen him in the inner man to help him rise up and beat whatever it is that's facing him right now. Look at how we can pray the prayer of supplication. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. A couple books ahead. We got to close down. I'm running out of time. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Here's another way that Paul prayed. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. This prayer is continued. It's unstopping. It's on and on. He keeps praying this. He says, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now listen to me. This prayer is going to change your life. Listen to how it's worded. Paul says, I am praying for you that you might know what to do in the next decision. No, I'm praying for you that you could be a quarter full of God's will, half filled with God's will. No, that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what the problem with people is? They get one word from God and they add 52 words from themselves. So when God gives you a word, you need the spiritual understanding to walk this thing out. Here's a prayer that you can pray and say, Father, I'm in a situation here. I thank you that I can be filled with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Father, every day. There's times when stress and pressure is pushing on me, when the comfort that I find is getting before the Father, worshiping, committing it to God. But I'll take these prayers and I'll begin to declare, I want to thank you right now that I'm filled with the knowledge of your will. I will make it through the next 4 months. I will make the decisions, Father, that are so God-breathed. People will be in awe because I'm filled with the knowledge of your will. I don't have a dabble, do you? I'm not screaming and fasting 90 days trying to find out every situation in my life. I'm filled with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I hope you guys are falling in love with this prayer because this is the most powerful thing. I tell you, when you begin to see how to supplicate and how to pray for one another. Colossians 4:12. Let's take a look, quick look at that one. This is how he prays for Epaphras, the Apostle Paul. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you. It's Epaphras for them. In prayers, that what was he laboring for in prayers? What was he continually praying for? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He didn't just pray this once. He prayed this over and over. Now, I'm just giving you 4 or 5 quick examples. When you begin to read your Bible and you start in the book of Romans and move on, you are going to begin, I challenge you to read the epistles and to see how one of the most incredible men, other than Jesus, who walked in the new covenant, watch how this man prays. It'll change your prayer life. It won't be any, oh, dear God. It'll be, all right, what's the situation here? What do you want prayer for? Oh, you don't know what to do? I know how to pray for that. Father, I pray right now this man might be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and understanding in the name of Jesus. I'll be in agreement with you. So as you're going to pray, that friend that's got that decision to make, I can pray for them every day that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, we got to shut her down. Let me close by saying this. Someone says, well, Pastor, of all these 9, which one is the most effective way to pray? Don't have to answer, but just think, put one in your head right now. Which one of these 9 is the most effective way to pray? Now you got one there? You can't put any one of them in that category. Because the most effective way to pray is the one that we're going to talk about this next, the Holy Spirit, who is your helper in prayer. It's the one He shows you how to pray. All right? It's the one the Holy Spirit comes along with and says, Leon, this prayer. And all of a sudden I know I'm getting on my knees and I'm praying that prayer of consecration and dedication. I might not even know why. I just find myself for some reason getting before the Father and praying and saying, Father, what is your will coming up? I've got my plans on how to grow this church and how to get these programs and the staff hiring and the situation to the new buildings. But Father, I sense in my spirit that I'm supposed to be praying the prayer of dedication right now. So Father, here I am. And for the next couple of days, Father, I'm going to just take a half a day, get before you and say, Father, whatever your will is, I will do it. Anything you want me to change, I will change. There's other times when all of a sudden the Spirit of God will get on you and I'll find an intercession coming upon me. And I know I am praying for an unbeliever, or I am praying for a believer who is in sin and will not change. And he's got to have someone getting a hold of God on his behalf. And I find myself interceding and it's just flowing. Other times, I know in my heart, I've got to get somebody in agreement. And honey, there's times I phone and say, Sally, where are you? You got 5 minutes? Can you pray with me right now? I do it to her every week. I'm doing it probably once or more. Sally, I want you to agree with me on this. Okay, we'll pray the prayer of agreement. Why? Because I can pray the prayer of agreement for everything with it. But on that one, I just feel an urge. I want someone in agreement. There's times I'll say, Dad, pray with me the prayer of agreement. Get together with us on this. And why? There's a sensing of the Holy Spirit. Get someone to agree with you on this one. There's other times I know I'm in the middle of a battle. I've done what I know how to do. And I just feel I need to worship God. I feel when I don't feel like worshiping God, I'm just going, yuck, yuck. And I go, things are pushing on me. I know in my spirit this body needs to put its hands in the air. This mind needs to shut up. And I need to get the presence of God flowing on me. And so Holy Spirit's nudging me in that direction. And I know it. So I come here during worship and praise time. And I tell you, I feel like just going like this. But instead, guess what? I'm wise enough on the inside to know I need to be worshiping God right now. And I get this hand up. And I get the other hand up. Jesus! Hallelujah! Yes! Thank you, Lord! I praise the name of... Why? Because I feel like it? Because I'm having a good day? Uh-uh. Because all my prayers got answered today? Not one yet. But I know that I know the Spirit of God's ready to break all over me if I just begin to worship Him. What prayer is the most effective prayer? What's the best way to pray? Let me tell you something. As you learn these nine just quick definitions of prayer, we'll cover them more and more. All of a sudden, you'll sense an urge to worship in your car. And you'll flip that tape off, or you'll put on a precious worship tape, crank it full blast till the speakers are going like this, and you're singing along going, Jesus, yeah, get on it. Why? Because you know today you got to praise God. But other times, I just have this urge, it's like a tickling on the inside to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray in the Spirit. And I'm just, oh, Ramabra Kandidi Andoro Lokondora Marakabambra Karamamboro Kondori Anda. There's times if I've got to get away somewhere because all of a sudden this stuff starts to flow and I can stop it if I want to, but the urge in me to pray in the Spirit is so strong and I find a place away. And Karabakarabamabakondori Andara Marabahandori Andre Makabamabakandosta. Oh, Ramabre Kandari Andara Lakondori Anda. It begins to roll out of me and I don't know what's going on, but the Holy Spirit does and He's flowing through me. What's the best way to pray? Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you into pray. And as you learn these nine, you watch today, this week, you watch it happen as all of a sudden, take these nine and write them out in your Bible. Actually, a friend of mine gave me a great idea. We're going to put together a Bible marker with the nine different kinds of prayer on it and where it's found. So every time you open your Bible, you're going to be reminded. You'll have it burned in your memory, the nine different ways of prayer and that kinds of prayer. And they flow together so that all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begin to move on you in one of those areas. Tell you what, could we practice one in the last few minutes? Let's stand to our feet. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you see, what we're talking about prayer now, it changes our worship and praise services. Because you see, we don't come to worship and praise because we feel like it. We worship and praise because it's a prayer that makes a difference. And so, right now, on your own, We can lift these hands that hang down, the Bible says, and begin to worship Him and praise Him. That's communicating. That's the prayer of worship. And at the same time, there can be those, if you want, you can begin to pray in the Spirit. Acts chapter 10 says that when you pray in the Spirit, one of the things you can do praying in the Spirit is magnifying God. I love magnifying God. Others like magnifying the problem. You know what a magnifying glass does? Take a magnifying glass and you look at this wee little bug and ooh, he's ugly and he's this big. No, it's the magnifying glass that made him that big. Some of you have got this perpetual magnifying glass on every one of your problems, and this itty bitty little stupid thing to you has wrecked the whole week. And you look at it through the I prefer to get the magnifying glass on God. I mean, he's already blown me away and I'm going to just magnify him and extol him and worship his greatness. Praying in the Spirit is magnifying God. Let's just take a few minutes right now as a church, Springs Living Water Church, and as a congregation, let's just close our eyes. And we're going to pray for the next few minutes, but we're going to worship the goodness of God and the presence of God. We're going to thank Him, praying in the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. I'm going to do the same thing, so you can just ignore me and you and God start to get together, and let's just worship Him and praise Him. Jesus, you are wonderful. I thank you that you've got everything under control in my life. I've given my life to you. I thank you right now for, Lord, all that you're doing in our midst as a church. I thank you for every new convert. I thank you that, Lord Jesus, is going to be, Lord, just the revelation of Jesus is going to be on the inside of them. Thank you that from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, they're coming into Springs of Living Water Church. Oh, I thank you right now, Father, for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you right now that, Lord, you are the King of Kings. The world tries to make you look small, but Father, you are everything. You're the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Oh, the Lion of Judah, the Lily of the Valley. You're the author, the finisher of my faith. In the Bible, Father, you looked after every one of our forefathers. You took them through every storm. When their hearts were turned to you, Lord, they won. I thank you, Lord. You've always been there for us. You've always been there, Lord. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I think we can be more earnest, a little more heartfelt, don't you? I think we can just begin to worship. Let's just fill this room with the sound of praise. Let's just give Him glory and honor. Oh, hallelujah. They could hear for miles when the Israelites begin to praise. When they begin to worship, man, it was a sound of wind that began to flow because their heart was for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you for what you've done. We praise you for what you're doing. Oh, hallelujah. You are the miracle worker. You are the one that's flowing and moving in lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you glory and honor. Oh, majesty. I worship your majesty. You, Father, are the reason I'm alive. You, Father, are the reason I'm in the ministry. You, Father, and all that you are and all that you stand for, you excite me, Lord. Oh, I want to be so much like you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in my home. Thank you for what you're doing in my marriage. Thank you for your life that flows in my body. I want to thank you for a healthy body. Oh, I want to thank you, Lord, that the call of God is on our lives and my future is going to be better than my past. I thank you right now that the latter days will be greater than the former. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you have always wanted a prayer life, but somehow didn't know where to start. I would say tonight, start. Don't try to pray for 4 hours tonight. You just burn yourself out and never try it again. Grab 5 or 10 minutes tonight, just enough time between getting the kids to bed and everything else you're doing. Grab 5 or 10 minutes and sit down. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to pray the prayer of Ephesians chapter 1 right now for myself. And is there anyone now that I need to pray this for? You watch as God brings things to your mind. You watch as people come to you. Watch during the day as all of a sudden someone, you can't get him out of your mind. You keep thinking about them. And you know the Spirit of God wants you to pray. Not a complicated thing at all. Just say, Father, that prayer in Ephesians, I haven't got my Bible here, but it had to do with giving him your wisdom and understanding. I pray that right now on that man in Jesus' name. And every time he comes to your mind, you're praying over him again. When you go home, you know what I did for months and months and months? I took these promises and my pen, I outlined them. And when I prayed, if I knew I wanted the prayer for God's will, I'd go over to Colossians 1:9 and I'd read it out as I'm praying it. It doesn't mean that I don't mean it. There's nothing wrong with reading your prayer. There's times I write my prayers out on paper. Say, Father, and pray, because these are the promises I'm going to use. Take your Bible, flip it open, and begin to read through it. Say, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you upon my wife, my children. The eyes of their understanding being opened. For my kids, I pray for the Spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. The eyes of their understanding being opened to who they are in Christ. I want my kids to be so full of God's understanding and wisdom that they're just in love with Jesus for the rest of their life. Start praying. Say, well, I often wondered how a person could pray for an hour. If you took some of these prayers and grabbed an afternoon by yourself and began to pray for people and just systematically begin to pray for them one at a time, take these prayers that you feel they need right now, you could burn away hours, no problem. It's so easy to pray. But just start with a few minutes. Start with 5 or 10 minutes. Fall in love with praying. Watch the results take place. Well, Father, bless us as we go. I pray right now, Lord, for laborers.